If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So if we would sequester all of the carbon, or if we would utilize all of the land over here, at the same time, European Union emissions, total emissions, are almost 5 billion tons annually. So even if we would offset only 10% of the emissions and everything else we would reduce, then it would still mean like 500 million tons of carbon removals needed or carbon credits needed. So that means European Union doesn't have enough land to sequester all of our emissions, and therefore we will have to import some of the credits.
That's a snippet from yet another interesting conversation coming your way. It's all about carbon farming and a bit more. Stay tuned. Hello and welcome back to yet another episode on the Mission Junior podcast. It's always fun to record and produce a show. What makes me more happy is all the feedback I get from time to time from special listeners like you. It just gives me extra motivation to spend time on weekends to create this podcast. So thank you for that, and do send across your feedback from time to time. So this episode is yet again a proof that we can discuss a wide range of topics, but with a central theme of getting to the net zero carbon transition. As always, I am joined by a guest who's very passionate about their work, and today's guest has an interesting story of creating a business after working on a small project to help his father. Well, I can't do justice to the narration of the story, so let's hear straight from our guest, who is...
Hello, my name is Robin Saluox, and I'm the CEO and founder of eAcrona.
So, Robin, let's begin with the origin stories. I've known eAcrona for a long time now. I've followed some of your products, and especially the soil carbon credit project that you are undertaking in recent years. But let's get to where it actually started back in 2016. I know it is a very personal story, but I would like to hear it from you directly.
Yeah, absolutely. So currently the main focus is bringing economic benefits to sustainable farmers. But we started in 2016 as a farm management system. Mm. So basically my father is an organic grain farmer in South Estonia. So we have 1,400 hectare organic grain farm over here. And I myself studied computer science in the university. So in 2016, my father was looking for a tool to manage our farm, and we didn't find anything good in the market. So I ended up building a prototype myself for him. And then other farmers saw this and they said that they would like to start using it as well. So it started growing from there. And today we have more than 1,700 customers, farmers, using eAcrona software all around Europe. And they manage in total 1.1 million hectares. But from the beginning, soil has been heart of our business. So first of all, in my father's farm, we have the saying on the wall that our client is soil in the farm. And also the first prototype had humus balance calculator included. And so humus is the richest part of the soil that is around half of this is carbon. Mm. And we just not really that farmers were asking for this, but we just wanted ourselves to give some context to farmers that every decision that they do in the farm influences their soil. So basically, we started as a farm management system. We grew quite quickly to 1,700 farmers and more than 1 million hectares. And soil was very important for us. So always we were wondering, how can we bring more value to our clients? And also, how can we improve soil? And then in the summer of 2019, we understood that the carbon credit, voluntary carbon credit market is developed enough so that we can actually, it's profitable already in the short term for farmers to change the practices in a way that they would sequester more carbon in the soil and create carbon credits out of this. And then we have on the other end, some big companies wanting to offset their emissions and buying those credits from us. So basically paying money to farmers to sequester carbon in the soil. So in 2019, we started thinking about this and working on it. And then we launched this in 2020 summer. So right now we are, well, slightly over a year through of our carbon credit program experience. And more than 10% of our own clients have enrolled the program. And then we have used this carbon program to expand to some new markets as well, beside Poland and Baltics. We are now also in Czech Republic, Romania, Spain, looking into Ukraine right now, in some African countries like Kenya, Tanzania, South Africa. So yeah, and we found out that it's possible to bring some more economic benefits to sustainable farmers as well. So yeah, this is quick recap of eAgronom story.
It's a wonderful personal story, and especially considering your background in computer science and then also have the family background in agriculture. It was nice combination in launching your first product, the farm management software. Before we get to soil, I also know that you offer a range of farm management tools, like, for example, sustainable farming certifications and other products. So how essential is this in terms of value add to the farmers?
Yeah, good point. So we understood that the data that we are collecting with the farm management software is can be valuable in different ways. So one is this carbon credit program, but there are also some other stakeholders who would like to incentivize sustainable farming. But they usually lack the ability to verify emissions in the farm and verify which farmers are sustainable. So just one example of those kind of stakeholders are banks. So in European Union, very often if you go and buy electric car, then you get better interest rates from the bank. Or if you buy better energy class apartment or more energy efficient apartment, then you also get better interest rates. And banks want to give better interest rates to farmers as well who are applying sustainable practices. And they need our help to detect whether this farmer is sustainable or not. And this is what we are doing for banks. So we are issuing those certificates and then farmers give them to bankers to get slightly better terms. And the belief is that today it's maybe slightly better terms, but in 2030, it will be difficult to get any loan in Europe if farmer is not applying those sustainable practices. And not only in farming, but other industries as well, because the union has taken really strong direction toward net zero.
That's interesting. Interesting to know that European Union has this policy that's coming up. Do you have any accreditation for this certification, or are you one of the leaders in this?
Yeah, so basically European Union has something that is called taxonomy. Taxonomy is a description of what is sustainable and what is not in all industries. So and in agriculture as well, we are following the taxonomy. So basically, based on taxonomy, we are saying whether farmer is doing those sustainable practices or not. And in banking, we are the first company who has launched that kind of collaboration with banks. And the other areas where not officially the EU taxonomy is used, but where the sustainable farmers get slightly better terms, and where there are some other companies working on this as well, is food value chain. So we see that some food companies are ready to pay more for food that is grown with low emissions. And then also landlords are ready to pay or give slightly better terms, rental terms, to farmers who have positive humus balance and take good care of the land. But yeah, on the banking side, we are following the EU taxonomy, and it seems to us that we are the very first company who launched that kind of collaboration with bank.
That's wonderful. In terms of EU trajectories, usually for carbon reduction and getting to net zero, they have a trajectory of reducing emissions by X percentage in so-and-so year and so on. Are there any similar trajectories, or is it not applicable in sustainable farming?
Yeah, the general goal is same. Well, there are certain targets, how much more carbon we have want to sequester and how much more emissions we want to reduce. But the problem with those targets is that they work very well on the like country level and or European Union level. But if you go to individual farmer, then it doesn't work, because some farmers are already applying the practices and some farmers are not applying practices at all, sustainable practices, I mean. So basically, for this reason, EU has described specific activities that would detect that this farmer is sustainable.
Now on to the carbon program. The farm management software, the platform, can be remotely configured at least to an extent. But whereas the carbon program, the soil carbon program, I mean, you need a lot of hands-on data, field data. So how did you get started with this? You did mention that you were monitoring soil parameters early on in the platform as well. But how did you kind of get started with quantifying the offsets in this space?
Yeah, well, we understood that our position as a farm management tool is quite good, because what we need is data of what practices are going on the field, and then to set the baseline. So what is the current soil balance and how much currently soil is emitting or sequestering? And then after farmer has changed the practices, we can gather the new data and put this to the soil model as well. But yeah, the truth is that we are also doing some soil samplings, but we don't do those on our own. We have different partners, independent partners, from who we are purchasing this soil sampling service. So basically approximately 10% of the fields are very heavily sampled. And then we use this information to calibrate further our soil model, and the results are then scaled throughout all hectares and fields.
Is this like an annual exercise that you do? Is the certification valid for like on annual basis, or how is it actually done? Can you give us an example? Like,
yeah,
how is it done from start to finish?
So yeah, soil modeling is something that we do annually, and then soil sampling is something that we do on 10% of the fields every 5 years. But annually, farmers, well, if they change practices, then we can create credits, Verra certified credits out of it, and then farmers get paid. We even offer prepayments in some case to farmers if they need it, because we are producing really high quality credits and we have clear market for the credits. So there is no question whether the credits get sold or not, and therefore we're able to even offer some money in advance to farmers.
You do mention about credits. Can you give us more details into that? Like, for example, an example where a farmer used your platform, farm management system platform, and also saw uptick in sequestration numbers. Is there an example that you can give?
Yeah, I guess really average and simple to remember is 1 ton per hectare. So basically, one credit equals 1 ton of additional CO2 removed from the atmosphere. And in average, we see that farmers can create around one credit per hectare annually. And it depends. If you go north, then the sequestration rates, like in Estonia, are slightly lower. And then if you go south to Spain, Romania, and etc., then the sequestration rates are higher.
Does it change seasonally because of whatever is happening with climate change? Does it change drastically? Have you seen that in your experience?
Yeah, it certainly, well, this 1 ton is annual figure and we are calculating it on annual basis, but climate certainly influences it. So for example, if there is, well, not really rain, then farmers cannot do cover cropping because there is not enough moisture for cover cropping. And therefore, the potential to sequester carbon with this is lower. At the same time, if in Estonia, like where we have now, with this climate change, we have slightly warmer climate, then at the same time, the window of planting season is also slightly longer.
Correct.
So we have snow coming in later and et cetera. So that extends the potential to sequester carbon. But yeah, climate is a big influencer here.
No, you do mention about snow. That leads me to another question on that front. Because in generally, like in India, there are typically two farming cycles in a year, two seasons of farming, two types of crops are grown in a farm, mostly around India. And I'm sure in Europe, it's a different cycle. So how many cycles do you generally see? And do you think, like, if there are more cycles, like, for example, in tropical countries, there could be more sequestration potential?
Well, certainly, in Europe, we have one crop a year. And in some other regions, in India or Africa, in some regions, there can be even two seasons. I think, not sure about India, but probably depends on the region. But in Africa, in certain regions, certainly not the limiting factor is not the temperature, but the rainfall. So basically, there might not be enough rainfall for two crops.
Mm.
But yeah, that might be like if they're in warmer climates, the sequestration rates can be higher.
Well, in India, definitely there is an increased awareness on soil health. In the last few years, ever since adoption of technology, a lot of farmers are getting access to that. And people definitely want to know about the soil health. So do you think there is market potential in other emerging markets outside of Europe for your solutions?
Absolutely. So just to give you an example, then in European Union, we have around 100 million hectares of land, like farming land. But so basically we could say that it's possible to sequester around 100 million tons annually.
Hmm.
So if we would sequester all of the carbon, or if we would utilize all of the land over here, at the same time, European Union emissions, total emissions, are almost 5 billion tons annually. So even if we would offset only 10% of the emissions and everything else we would reduce, then it would still mean like 500 million tons of carbon removals needed or carbon credits needed. So that means European Union doesn't have enough land to sequester all of our emissions, and therefore we will have to import some of the credits. And that's also why eAgronom has operations today in Africa. Africa has much more land and therefore could be potential place to import credits. I think similar thing could be with India. Also probably North America is the one who will import from South America, India, Africa, and etc. So basically, certainly in your region as well, there will be demand for the credits that you will be creating.
The question about demand, the supply and demand, really comes down to my next question about the market. Since you started, I'm sure a lot of things have changed, especially things after COP26, where the carbon markets framework is kind of evolving. So how do you think the soil carbon market and the credits around this are shaping up? What are the prices and what is the price change trajectory that you've seen in the last few years?
So we see a few things. So first of all, if you look at the market, then this has been growing super fast. When we started looking at it, and it was around 2 years ago, it was around $200 million annually. And today it's over $2 billion annually. So market is growing. Secondly, right now we see big variation of different kind of credits and certificates and players in the market. So what I mean that there are some companies doing emission reduction, so reducing emissions and then creating carbon credits out of this. There are some companies doing direct air capture, so basically with machines directly from the air collecting the CO2. And then there are some companies working on nature-based credits, so sequestering carbon in soils or trees. And then even inside this, and so if you look at those three, then the emission reduction is something that's, well, it seems that companies don't, credit buyers don't want emission reduction credits anymore, because this is anyway something that is expected to happen. Companies have to start reducing their emissions. So it's all about removals. The problem with direct air capture is that it's too expensive.
Exactly.
Direct air capture would be the most additional and most permanent solution, but it's so, so expensive right now. And therefore, we have to rely on nature-based solutions that have many other side benefits as well. But inside nature-based solutions, there are so many different players and methodologies and ways. And therefore, the sequestration rates for different companies that offer carbon programs are very different as well. And fortunately, we see in European Union right now that there are proposals from the Commission side to develop EU carbon removal framework that would basically level the playing field and set rules for carbon credit programs if they want to be if they want to create credits that could be sold in European Union. And that's very good news for us, because we unfortunately we see a lot of greenwashing in the market as well. And so basically this is going to influence these kinds of regulations are going to influence the pricing a lot. So basically the higher the bar goes, the better for the nature, but the higher the carbon prices as well. And then if the bar with the regulations will be lower, then carbon credit prices can be lower as well. So increasing still, but not so rapidly. But it's not clear in that case that all of the sequestration is actually additional and real.
Well, you bring out a valid point about greenwashing and also the price of direct air capture, because, yeah, as you said, that's very high at this moment. So in your opinion as an expert in this sector, what's an ideal price that you would say per ton?
Good question. So I think there has been some researches that if the price doesn't grow to 120, then we don't achieve our climate targets. And it might be true. I think we can onboard farmers with the smaller prices as well. Right now we are offering 30 euros minimum price to our clients, but we see that it's growing. I think if we would like to onboard farmers quicker, 60 euro price could be enough. But the problem with the 60 euro price is that farmland alone is not enough to sequester all of the emissions in the world. So for that reason, I believe that probably this around 100 euros per ton is something that if we would have a carbon tax of 100 euros per ton, then we would reach net zero in the right time.
That's an interesting number that you give. So 100 euros per ton of carbon price with something that you feel is a good price, not too high so that people don't buy offsets, but rather very optimal so that both the buyer and seller is kind of well positioned to have more solutions coming on ground, correct?
Yep.
Wonderful. Oh, wonderful, Robin. Now, in the last year, you did raise a Series A, a good round of investment. So what's next on the horizon for you? You did mention Africa as a market that you're targeting. Is this the same approach that you have in Europe, or are you looking at a different approach for the market in Africa?
Well, similar approach, but there are some challenges. There are more smaller farmers. So we have to be innovative and creative on how we reach them. And secondly, it's more difficult to do prepayments in Africa. First of all, because our financing partners are more reluctant to help us with doing prepayments in Africa, and we ourselves don't understand the legislative system that well, and etc. But yeah, well, on the fundraising side, we are raising. We just started the next fundraising, and we target to raise around 15 to 20 million euros somewhere in the next spring.
Wonderful, Robin. It was wonderful to have you on the podcast. Discuss this topic, something that we haven't discussed on the channel before. So thanks for taking time to join me on the podcast today.
Sure. It was my pleasure.
And with that, we come to the end of yet another interesting conversation. I hope you got some insights around sustainable farming, soil carbon sequestration, carbon markets, and the need to have the right price for carbon. Trust me, reading more about eAgronom and this conversation with Robin helped me in understanding more about the role of farming and soil in particular in the carbon sequestration cycle. So, the next time you hear a campaign around Save Soil, do lend your voice. Until then, do follow Robin and his work. The link will be in the description of this episode as usual. While you are there, you will also find links to terrageneration.com, who have come up with a design language, a new one for the cover art from this episode. Well, I can't thank them enough for their support, but they do a lot more. A content agency specialized in telling stories in climate, biodiversity, and sustainability. So, two links for you to check. So, with that, I will officially sign off for this episode. I will be back in 2 weeks' time. Until then, this is Girish Shivakumar signing off. And as always, thank you for listening.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.